Hello, and welcome to the Let's Talk Attachments podcast. My name is Jessica Da Silva, and I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist and an attachment coach, helping adults end their unhealthy dating patterns and create stronger, secure relationships. Attachment theory gives us insight into how we currently experience love through understanding our earlier attachment dynamics. I created this podcast as a safe space to share stories and insights on different aspects of attachment so that you can better understand how this manifests in your own life. My only request is that you listen with an open heart and an open mind. So without further ado, let's get into it. Hello, and welcome to today's podcast episode on why anxious and avoidant attachments are attracted to each other. I made an Instagram post on this topic the other day and like to use this podcast as a way to expand on this information for you. By the way, I have my dog here in the office, so if there's any shaking or moving, I do apologize for the noise. So this is not only one of the most common questions I receive, but also the most common relationship dynamic I see in my practice. So why would these polar opposites in regards to attachment styles be attracted to each other? Before we jump into some major reasons, I wanted to preface and say that there are many reasons why people are attracted to each other and stay in relationship with each other. Attachment styles is just one way of explaining this occurrence. I personally really resonate with this scientific approach, not only because of, you know, the extensive research behind it, but also because the challenges I see in working with individuals and also in my own life is so apparent and consistent with their attachment orientations, okay? So it just makes a lot of sense. From an attachment lens, one of the reasons why this duo comes together is because of their differences, believe it or not, right? The opposites attract. Their differences can be very alluring to each other. Anxious attachments may find the avoidance, independence, and individualistic nature to be appealing and mysterious, while avoidance may appreciate the caring and emotionally attuned nature that anxious attachments so naturally embody. These differences can achieve a sense of excitement or intrigue. And also, one person's strengths can offset the other's weaknesses, which can create a balance within the relationship. There's also this concept of the golden shadow that I love from psychiatrist Carl Jung, where he talks about the idea that we are often attracted to people who have aspects of ourselves that we want to get in touch with. However, if we don't recognize these subconscious motivations, we only live vicariously through others and do not personally develop ourselves. So for me personally, I've always been attracted to risk takers, creatives, and these very adventurous and independent souls, kind of pedestaling these people. And the very things that I admired within them, I would also criticize them for, believe it or not, because there was this underlying jealousy component to it all. And once I started working on my own personal development, I realized, wait a sec, I want to be those things. And so I started traveling more, taking bigger risks in my career, working for myself, which was really a bold and scary transition for me, learning new hobbies and utilizing my creative skills. And with these experiences, I started to really love myself and therefore wasn't desperately searching for these hidden parts of myself within others. And I also wasn't threatened by those qualities in others anymore. Right. So for you, I'm curious what aspects of others are you deeply attracted to? Is it that they are independent, self-reliant? Maybe they're into physical health or mental health. You know, they're intellectuals, they're creatives, they're entrepreneurial, they're kind, friendly, open-minded, emotionally attuned, and really reflect if perhaps these are qualities that you would like to embody yourself and really begin taking small steps to do it, right? Maybe take classes, work with a mentor, read books, do your research, train, take that trip, plan that adventure. you know, whatever it is, do it for yourself and see what happens. When I was 25, over 10 years ago now, I was working on these concepts and booked a solo trip to Vietnam just to put myself out of my comfort zone and, you know, experience this adventurous me. And although it was very scary in many ways, because I'm an extreme introvert, it sparked this beautiful fire in me to continue exploring the world and just having those new experiences, to the point where I've created a lifestyle and found a partner, right, that can support this passion. And I used to, you know, really admire my exes for their bravery and their adventurous nature and realize like, oh, wow, cool, I could do that too. I could be that person too. And what's so funny is that I started dating a guy shortly after that trip to Vietnam. I was doing a lot of traveling after that. And he was like, I feel like I'm not adventurous enough for you, which was so surreal and bizarre to be on the other end of that stick, right? Because I became the person that I was seeking. Next reason is that anxious and avoidant push-pull dynamics, right? They have this push-pull dynamic that can really create a certain level of excitement and intensity, which can become almost addicting. The emotional highs and lows can release chemicals such as dopamine, norepinephrine, oxytocin, and endorphins that can contribute to the addictiveness of this dynamic. It reminds me of a poem I created for one of my exes when I was 16 years old, not knowing anything about the science of attraction or addiction. I named the poem "The Drug I Love to Take." I wish I could find this poem. I think I wrote it on, it was some kind of platform they had back then. What was it called? It wasn't MySpace. It was something, LiveJournal. It was LiveJournal. I wrote it on LiveJournal and I can't access my username or password anymore, so it's long gone. But the poem was "The Drug I Love to Take," meaning he was the drug that I loved to take. And it really felt like that because being with him gave me such a high. I mean, when we were connected, it was so wonderful. It was the most fun and passion I've experienced. But when we were apart or things, you know, weren't going well, it was the lowest of the low. And now it makes sense why I was so addicted to that experience. He was also a fearful avoidant. We were both fearful avoidant. So imagine those high highs and low lows. We were just triggering that within each other constantly. And just with that experience, it was so painful. It was so, so painful. And cutting him out of my life, we had this relationship going on into our 20s. It was really hard. It felt like withdrawals. And I've never had withdrawals with a drug before. But from, you know, what I've heard through other people's experiences with drugs, it's a very similar emotional experience. Okay, so that addiction is very real. So I want you to think about your own life. Are you experiencing these intense highs and lows and perhaps getting some benefit from those chemical releases? And ultimately, is it worth it, right? Is the pain worth it? Another reason to this attraction is familiarity, right? Because humans are creatures of comfort, we will often seek out familiar relationship dynamics that reinforce our thoughts, feelings, and behaviors about love and connection. For example, anxious attachments are used to feeling unimportant. They're used to not feeling like a priority, right? They're used to feeling rejected, while avoidants are used to feeling inadequate and misunderstood and controlled in some way. Anxious and avoidants tend to reinforce these experiences within each other, and although it's painful and annoying, it's what they're accustomed to. Okay. Fearful avoidance might be attracted to people who abuse and mistreat them, while secure attachments are attracted to those who can complement their healthy approach to relationships. This is why I stress, you guys, if we want to find secure love, we need to embody that secure version of ourselves, because we are attracted to what is familiar. Okay, we are attracted to what is familiar. And essentially, these skills are what I teach to my coaching clients, right? Which is so wonderful that we can actually learn these tools to shift our ways of experiencing love. The last major reason I have here is that anxious and avoidance may consciously or unconsciously see an opportunity for healing within each other. Anxious attachments may believe they can fix or love their avoidant partner enough to change, while the avoidant might hope to experience emotional connection through the anxious partner's efforts. So both are hoping to meet their unmet needs within each other. Because we tend to recreate similar relationship dynamics to our earliest attachment caregivers, we try to get a desired outcome through our partner. Okay, so maybe it's their attention that we want. Maybe it's validation, quality time, their reassurance, their presence, their physical touch. And sometimes we can achieve this to some degree because our partner is willing to learn how to meet our emotional and physical needs. But many times, I'm sure as you've experienced perhaps, they are not capable or willing to make those changes or efforts, right? Which can then really reinforce these painful feelings and traumas within ourselves. This is why research suggests that we find partners who have predominantly secure attachments, remembering that nobody is 100% secure, so that we can experience getting our emotional and or physical needs met. As secure attachments, they're just more willing and capable to support us in this way. Okay, so this continues to be a very healing experience in my current relationship. My partner, as I've mentioned before in previous episodes, he is secure with avoidant tendencies. So he definitely has his limitations, right? He can't meet all of my emotional needs because he's just not there in his own life, in his own evolvement. But for the most part, I'm free to be myself. I'm free to say what I want to say, to set my boundaries, communicate my needs. And this has been really helpful in terms of learning that, you know, advocating for myself is safe and that people do want to support me. Whereas in my past, advocating for my needs would cause arguments. I would get criticized. I would get rejected. It just felt very unsafe and sometimes had very major consequences, okay? Harsh consequences. So this is why so much of our healing happens through relationship. Essentially, we are relearning how to experience love and create those secure attachment bonds. So you're probably wondering, is there hope for the anxious and avoidant duo? Of course there is. I've worked with countless individuals in this relationship dynamic, and though they do have, you know, significant differences at play, with empathy, understanding, and a willingness to work on their attachment dynamics, they can have a successful relationship. On the other hand, if there is a lack of motivation or effort into supporting each other and healing the relationship, know that you deserve better, okay? You are not psychologically stuck to your painful ways of experiencing love. I would say it's pretty 50-50 in what I've experienced in my practice. I've had couples that learn about, you know, they learn about each other and they really make a consistent effort to support each other and understand each other's differences, which has led to the success of their relationship. And I've also had couples who've realized that their needs were just too different and they wanted to find a relationship that felt more compatible. So it really just depends on what these differences are, if there's a commitment to really understanding each other, and if there's a willingness to essentially learn a new language of meeting each other's needs. Okay, and these suggestions apply to any attachment style dynamic, right? There needs to be understanding and there needs to be a willingness. So thank you for listening. I hope this information could give you some clarity and direction. And if you're looking to dive deeper into these concepts, into your own attachment style, and how to begin embodying your secure self, you can learn more about working with me one-on-one via the link in my show notes. I will catch you on the next episode. Thank you for listening to this podcast episode. If you enjoyed it, please rate it or leave a comment. Hearing your feedback just motivates me to create more content for you guys. I appreciate you so much, and I will catch you on the next episode.